back.
On this team, we fight that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
Coming in at 320 kilobytes per second, it's time for Matty C's Sports for you and me.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with.
How you guys doing? This is Box with me and Matty C. I'm the me. There's Matty C. And today we got Dane Smichael, bruh. He a beast. He a beast. You feel me? The first time I ever seen this kid, he was knocking out a national fighter. You feel me? And Trevor Lattimore, yo. He's a monster. He's a national champion. So how you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I just recently seen one of your pro fights. Bro, I don't know where all this like this came up, but yo, that was fire, yo. That, he didn't know what to do with you.
Not at all. You're looking.
Oh, damn, it's crazy. It's dope, man. So like, I have a question because I didn't get to do the international thing. You know what I mean? So how is it different from fighting in like Jamaica than fighting over here?
Okay, well, the amateur scene overseas is completely different. I believe it's judged way differently. And, you know, there's no headgear. Most countries don't wear headgear when they compete in amateurs, right? So I would say, what's that? We had went to the Olympic trials in Memphis, me and you.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That was the first time I competed without headgear. And then, you know, I got stitches every single day and stuff like that. But when I went to the World Games in Baku, Azerbaijan, that was different. Like, I thought I saw talent, like, locally and, you know, everyone from the U.S. and stuff like that. But it was definitely different overseas. You see guys, like, some guys were like 35 years old, and then they walk in, they look weird, they smoking cigarettes, like, and then when you see them fight, and you're just like, yo, I did not see that coming. and every single day, it's a big village, like, we all stay at the same hotel, and like, it's a big mess hall with like breakfast, lunch, dinner type joint, right?
Yeah.
That shit a day looked like a war zone. Like, it didn't look like it was a whole bunch of boxes in there. You see guys with their heads wrapped up. You see them in slings. You see them like mass stitches everywhere. I'm like, yo, this is really fighting and boxing. This is really what it is. So it's like, I got the privilege to have, I want to say 9 no headgear competition, and I feel like that really helped me transition into a professional, because you know how it go, like when you fighting internationally, it's like you fighting like, you know, top 5 from whichever country you face against, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're just going against some local talent. You fighting like, you know, one of the best out of this country, you feel me? So it's like, yo, these slick, them things, sometimes they be better than pros in my opinion.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that too, because some of them guys have been doing it for years, like since they was a baby, and they don't want to turn pro. They trying to make it to the Olympics or like that's their goal. Like Raheem Gonzalez, that's what he's trying to do.
Right.
So when you fighting guys like that, like how are you approaching it? Because like They got more experience than you, but then it's like you got the youth on your side when you was doing it.
I mean, all right. So I had the youth. I had the youth. Everything come with the youth, the athleticism part. But you know what? Like I said, the first day, I think this guy was from Kazakhstan. He was like a buck 40 something. And homeboy was, his whole team was practicing hitting pads, running and stuff like that. He just walking up and down, smoking cigarettes, laughing on the phone. And in my mind, I'm like, yo, this nigga not gonna last. This nigga's
like, he's a clown.
Yeah. I saw homeboy fight and I'm like, yo, there ain't no way this is him. Like they try to, like, you feel me? Like, don't get me, I know cigarettes is bad, but what I saw in that guy, in that old man, like, he was quick, head movement, jab sturdy, combos, make you miss, and he having fun in there. Like, he throwing like 100 punches around and hitting you with damn near 80 of them. And I'm like, yo, this is definitely a different league. Like, this is definitely a different league.
Yeah.
And that's experience. So it's like, my youth had nothing. If I was to fight him, I wouldn't have been ready. Like, my youth would have had nothing to do with that if he was in my weight class.
I feel you.
Mm. All I gotta say is, damn, bro. Like, guys fighting like that, and like, you know, you see guys over here that are like train, and then, like, mm-hmm. You said, like, it's amazing how you just said, like, how the amateur ranks go over there. So, like, when you saw that in Jamaica, like, you know, was it a whole, like, different realm? Like, oh shit, like, I'm seeing guys like in the gym constantly, and then seeing dudes smoking cigarettes just chilling, and then they're bopping and weaving, they're throwing strong, and they're just like all this type of stuff. So, like, were you kind of like, whoa, what am I getting myself into right now?
Oh yeah, I was definitely thinking, I'm like, you know what, I definitely might be a little in over my head, you know what I mean? I'm like, because, all right, so I won the nationals in Jamaica in my weight class. I was actually supposed to advance to the one of the continental qualifiers in, I believe it was in Argentina at the time, but politics and stuff got in the way of that. So they ended up sending me to the World Games, but it just goes into how sheltered we are. Not only, like, do we not, like, you know, see how, like, other people live and work and stuff like that in all these other countries, the sports is a different animal as well. And that just, like, cosigned. I'm like, yo, dad, I'm over here, I'm thinking I'm a beast, but little do I know, like, I don't know nothing. You feel me? It was crazy. It was a crazy experience. Like, even, like, getting there, like, you know, I'm representing the country. They didn't even send me with a t-shirt that said Jamaica on it. Like, they didn't bring me no coach. They didn't bring me no...
They just sent you?
They didn't even send me. All right, so what happened was, I won the nationals out there, right? And mm-hmm. then I went back to New Haven right after, like, maybe a week later. And then I'm on Facebook, and I see they sent a team to Azerbaijan, and then the person I beat in the semis, he was representing the 75 kg. I'm like, yo, I beat him in the semi pros. He wasn't even runner up. Like, what's going on? But, you know, local favorite, whatever, whatever. That's okay. So after he didn't qualify, they gave me a call and was like, it was like, yo, well, if you still want the dream and want to keep it alive and stuff like that, there's last qualifier, but you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to figure it out, but we'll be able to sign you up. I'm like, all right, you know, fuck it, whatever. I'm like, you're going to be able to send my dad. He's like, yo, we're not giving you nothing. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to handle it by yourself. I'm like, all right, so what coach am I getting? And they're like, we're not giving you nothing. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that's crazy.
Damn,
nigga, so I went to JFK. I started a GoFundMe page. That's what I did. And niggas held me down. I went to JFK, and I went to a completely different part of the airport I've never seen before in my life. And, like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you know, like, what I'm seeing, like, in the people. Like, this is different type of people. Get on the plane, 8 hours of straight turbulence, violent turbulence. And then we get to Turkey. Another, like, 6 hours to Azerbaijan, straight turbulence. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I call my dad. So what do I do? He said, you're going to have to find somebody that's going to corner you. I'm like, every country is under here right now has somebody in my weight class. I'm competition for everybody. He said, well, the worst they can say is no. I'm like, okay. I asked Puerto Rico, Cuba. Money, I can't even, I asked like over like 20-something different coaches from 20-something different countries. They all said no. And then St. Lucia said, all right, we got your back. It's no problem. And they had a nigga in my weight class. But like, they was like, it's no sweat. Like, you know, we help each other out. Like, you know, it's all about the dream. It's not personal. I'm like, I wish everybody else thought like that.
Facts.
And so St. Lucia was holding me down. And I ain't gonna lie. It was, a lot of stuff happened on that trip. So I was actually there with Richard Hitchens. You know him.
Yeah, Africa.
Yeah, no, Haiti.
Huh?
He was representing Haiti.
Nah, but they call him Africa.
Oh yeah, they do. Oh, true.
Yeah.
So he was there. But like, yeah, like I go to fight, I have to go against Israel. And me, I think I won the fight, but they ain't see it that way. Even the kid, he looked at me when they raised his hand. He looked like he was in shock, but then he just, what he gonna do? He started celebrating, he started doing cartwheels and stuff like that. I'm like, dag. Like, so I came all the way over here, all of this stuff. I got this St. Lucian dude in my corner, just yelling. I don't even like, feel me? I know some stuff he talking about, but like, you, I already know what's going on. So it's like, damn. And then I realized I just came all the way across the world to just fuck up because I could have done a lot more easily.
But, so you literally asked like the United Nations from every fucking country to say, hey, like, which one of y'all are gonna corner me?
Yeah, I just went over there and like, they all spoke a little bit of English. They didn't really know English like that, but they knew what I was asking. I'm like, can you corner me? No. Can you corner me? No. No, no, no. And I respect it. You feel me? It's just how it is. Why would you want to help the competition, right?
Yeah, right.
And so...
Yo, I respect you, bro. I respect that. I don't know if I would have went, though. Like, I might have been like, fuck it. Like, that's some shit.
Yeah, more power to you, man.
A whole other country. Yeah, a whole other country with not knowing what's about to go down. Boom, boom. I'm mad paranoid. I don't think I would have went.
Nah, bro. Like, I was definitely paranoid, but I'm just thinking, I'm like, you know what? There's a huge risk, but this reward is about to be sweet. You feel me? Like, imagine little Mike, because my dad got to represent the island in the Olympics in '88. So, and I'm like, okay. Maybe,
dream.
Maybe this is my time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I gotta do it. And plus, I should have been already in the other qualifier before then, but they just wasn't messing with me. So but yo, funny story. So Richardson Hitchens, he roomed with some other Haitian kid from the States. That Haitian kid lost the first day and dipped. And left him with the bill, like, because they making sure they collect everything at the end. And so me, oh wait, before I even get into that, so right, Richardson Hitchens, he really doing his thing. He putting on a show, like, he going crazy. Like, this nigga's really like giving out boxing lessons out there. He was young. I think he was like 18, just turned 18. And it was the semis, he won, and he qualified for the Olympics. But he was just chilling. And I remember we was in the back of the little taxi. I'm like, yo, my nigga, you know that the competition not over, but you do know like what happened, right? You qualified for the Olympics. Like, you going to the games. Like, you representing Haiti. You from New York, and you about to be in this junk, and you just a kid. And he was like, yeah, I know. Da, 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 da. I'm like, do you see how big it is? And then, you know, in so many words, I let him know how big it was and the opportunity and stuff like that. He's like, oh, shoot, I didn't even look at it like that. I just looked at it as, you know, I'm just going to keep fighting. I'm like, nah, nigga, you basically became a celebrity overnight, nigga. And then, and then he was like, oh, shoot, like, feel me? So now, long story short, it's the end. Now, security in the hotel is big. Like, you can't leave like once you get to the first floor, there's mad security out there, you know, asking for papers, asking for proof of payment and stuff like that. And he was tripping. He's like, you know, he's like, yo, I don't got it. And plus this other nigga dipped on me. Me, this kid, I think he's from Barbados, but he was representing St. Lucia. His name is Keith Lynn, something like that. I gotta remember it, but we was looking out for him. We put this nigga in a big ass gym bag, right? We was on like the 9th or 10th floor. We put him in a big ass gym bag. And I put him around. I carried the nigga in the gym bag, and we walked him all the way downstairs, walked him past security. And you know, security, they was like, they're not about to check the bag. You know, we got big ass bag. So we put him in the taxi, and we told the taxi guy, we was like, yo, go to the airport. And then he's like, because we didn't get in the car. And he was like, what do you mean go to the airport? And we unzipped the bag, and then he poked his head out the bag, and then he's like, oh. And then it took him to the airport. And I was like, I wonder if he remembered that. He definitely remembered that. Yeah. But we got him out the country slick without having to pay nothing.
You had the wildest adventure on that, man.
You a real one for that. Oh, we put him in
the
bag. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, we put him in the bag. I think he was definitely like a buck 40. So that was, you know, we got big gym bags. You feel me?
Yeah. Damn.
I can't wait to see him again. I'm like, yo, you remember that? He gonna be, yeah.
So tell me, how was it making the turn from amateur to pro? For me, I feel like I did it backwards. Like, I feel like I used to fight like a pro, and now in the amateurs, I'm more like punch, punch, punch. I mean, now as a pro, I'm more punch, 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 punch. As in the amateurs, I was like picking my shots and like working. Like, how did you switch up? Like, what did you change to, like, you feel me?
I know exactly what you mean, because I had the same little issue. I was in the amateurs with the pro style, and then always end up losing a close fight just because this dude threw 10 more punches, and even though he didn't really hit me. But I didn't switch up. I just kept my pro style, and I just I guess what one thing I developed over the years was like that killer instinct type junk, you know what I mean? Because before, like in the amateurs, yeah, I can make them miss and make them pay, but it was just like, bah, back up, pop, pop, back up. But now it's like, pop, 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 back up, pop, 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 pop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't really make a change. I just, because my dad always told me, he said, there's going to come to a point when you turn pro, don't worry about the amateurs. It's about the experience and stuff like that. So don't try to do what these guys do, because this is not going to matter later on. So we just stuck with the what we was doing.
Yo, your daddy, I don't know what video this was. It's a video you fight in the amateurs, bro. And it's my favorite. Me and my dad, you say this for every fight. Keep your composure. We heard him screaming dumb loud, yo, in his thick accent, like, keep your composure. and he did something like nasty too. And like, you could tell he was about to start feeling yourself. He's like, nah, chill out. You know who you is. Yeah. You feel me? Bro, to this day, that sticks with me, yo. Cause even if I get a knockdown, it's like, all right, chill, keep your composure. You know where he's at. You know where he's at. Mm. Keep doing what you've been doing. Don't jump the gun. You know what I mean?
Right. So my dad's biggest thing was he's like, it's not fighting, it's boxing. It's never personal. The minute you start feeling yourself, the minute you start doing too much, could lead to your downfall. And then I didn't really get it at first, but all right, so you know how people say you can't play boxing?
Yeah.
I mean, I disagree, because Russian roulette is also a game. You feel me? It's just a very dangerous game. And boxing just happens to be a very dangerous game, but it's still a game. You feel me? Mm-hmm. The people who say you can't play boxing, they go in there with this thing where, like, you know what? It's just straight up danger. But if you go there with straight up danger, then you can't, on your mind, and you can't keep your composure, because in your mind, you can't be composed if you think you're in danger. You feel me?
Facts.
So when you go in there when you go in there calm, cool, and collected, if you get hit or not, like, first things first, it's a fight. You're going to get hit. So once you actually accept that, you'll find that punches hurt less. You find that you get punched less. And you find that it's actually not as scary as a lot of people try to paint it out to be. You feel me?
Yeah, it's really not. Like, when I be telling people I'm a boxer, they're like, oh my God, you get punched in the face. And I'd be like, bro, like, it's not as big as y'all trying to make it out to be. Like,
I practice not to get punched in the face, but if it happened, it happened.
Worse. Sometimes I don't even realize I got punched in the face.
Exactly.
So going into it, man, I know Jalen, we were talking about Lomachenko and Haney, but like, now that you put that in perspective, that boxing can be dangerous and it's also a game too. Like, I felt like there's been three sequences now. So now Gervonta Davis beat Ryan Garcia. I saw the scaredness in Ryan Garcia. Devin Haney, when he pushed Lomachenko, that was scared. But now it's like, you know, now we're getting Spence and Crawford finally. Hopefully somebody doesn't throw up before the fight and get sick or something.
Right.
But, I mean, like,
those are two different animals.
So my question is, like, do you feel Ryan Garcia lost a lot of points in that, and also Devin Haney at the same time? Like, who do you think won those fights? Those two. Well, obviously Gervonta won the first one.
Okay, so
I know, what am I talking about? Who do you think got that one?
To touch on Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Davis, that's a perfect example of somebody that's doing the sport because it's him, and then there's somebody that's doing the sport just because they're around the sport. You feel me? I feel like Ryan Garcia, I've been saying it for years, man. If you ever notice this dude, every time he punches the bag, he's blinking like this. Every time a punch gets thrown at him, his eyes are like that. And then, like, you know, I'm not no, like, scientist or nothing like that, but yeah, every time you blink, your equilibrium is compromised. You feel me? If you blink and take a punch and don't blink and take that same punch, your eyes wide open, it's going to hurt less. But as soon as you close your eyes, like, you're going to lose your balance, all that weird stuff. And that's where them flash knockdowns come down. And then I said it. I'm like, he's got all the tools to beat him, but he's not going to beat him because he ain't tough enough to beat him. And nobody could understand because they just looking at him as a man, like, yeah, he's fit, he's taller, he's strong, he's got crazy power. And then I just asked him, like, but can he fight though? And then, like, yeah, obviously he could fight. Look at him. I'm like, come on, like, this pro scene is all smoke and mirrors. Like, a lot of times guys be in there and just because they got gloves on too, you think they're a pro boxer. Yeah, they're a pro boxer, but are they really a boxer? Like, you feel me? And they're like, yo, he just beat Fortuna. I'm like, come on, my nigga. Like, Fortuna been out the game, number one. Number two, he wasn't in shape. Number three, he went up in weight, like, two weight classes to fight the boy. And to me, I feel like that's more bullying than fighting. Like, it's like, you feel me? Like, anybody could have that as a credential. And a lot of people do get those things as credential. But boxer, like, real boxers, no. You feel me? But fans of the sport, they don't see a difference. And then
the casual fans, they don't be understanding.
Yeah, and yo, you'll be surprised. And a lot of these coaches and a lot of these big time boxers really don't know the difference. The only thing is they have success. So with success, they become credible with success, but they still lack the IQ. You feel me?
Yeah.
Now with the Loma and Haney,
I want to hear this.
Yeah, Loma, tell us.
One thing about, like, no disrespect to Devin Haney. Devin Haney's really good, but I just really believe he's a super basic fighter at a super high level. Like, he doesn't wow you with any moves. He doesn't wow you with anything like that. He's just very technical. He's very by the book. And it's very easy to see everything he's doing. Now, with a guy like Lomachenko, I believe he won that fight. And this is why I believe he won that fight. I know why he lost the fight. He lost the fight because the same thing about what I'm saying, like, with these people who lack the IQ, a lot of these judges lack the IQ because Lomachenko has a very different style. And you have to be, you have to really, really be analytical to actually see the beauty in what he's doing, to actually see him landing all the points. So if you have an untrained eye, then you're going to miss a lot of stuff he's doing. And I believe a lot of times that be the robberies in the sport where they're not really trying to necessarily rob the people. They just are not that good at judging. And the other people would say, oh, but they judge this fight. They've been judging for years. I'm like, so what? How, when was the last time you seen somebody like Lomachenko? And then they'll say never. I'm like, okay, that's them. They've never seen that before. But it's easy for you to, okay, point out, okay, Devin landed this many jabs, this many straights, this many hooks. That's easy because he's doing it like right in front of you. Where it's like, you know, Lomachenko, he's changing angles, he's doing this, he's doing that. He's punching you with his eyes closed, he's punching you behind his back, he's doing this. And like, and they miss that because a lot of these dudes never even fought before.
Yeah. Yeah, yo, that bothers me. I feel like you can't be a judge if you ain't ever been in the ring like that. Like, if you ain't no been a pro fighter, you shouldn't be judging no pro fights. Like,
the only
reason I say that is because when they do be getting the fight wrong and all that, it's like, bro, they don't be understanding like what they taking away from someone. They don't understand they don't know what this man just went through to get here. Sometimes like. That he could have spent his last to get to this fight. And like, yeah, he's getting paid regardless, but like, if I earn my win, I want my win. You know
right,
what I mean? And then it's like they want to complain. Oh, you're complaining that you're complaining. Yeah, I'm gonna complain, bro. This is my livelihood. Like, you feel me? I gave brain cells for this. My time, relationship, a lot of stuff I get for this. All I want is a fair shake. And for them to be mad that you want a fair shake pisses me off. It's like, bro, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just another example of life, and where it's like you got somebody in charge of a situation that they don't even know really. They wouldn't even be able to perform it, but they about to judge you. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just how it is, man.
Makes no sense to me at all. Same with referees. They need all that. Like, I feel like you shouldn't be able to be a referee unless you've been a fighter before, because stopping it too early or stopping it too late is ridiculous. There's always a spot in the fight where it's like, all right, bro, it's enough. You don't need no more. Or, you're getting there. But you know what I mean? But fighters know when it is. If you ain't ever been a fighter, you don't know what it is. You're going to stop it too early or you're going to stop it too late. You know what I mean? I rarely see a good stoppage nowadays.
Not for real. You called it. Like, they either going to let you continue to take punishment just because they think you were supposed to be tough, or they think you're tough enough to handle it, or they stop it too early because they know they wouldn't want to take that. So they looking at it as, yo, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's like hard, that's like Tony Weeks the week before.
Come on.
That had to do with boxing or nothing, that had to do with money, baby. He got paid.
Yeah.
Cuz
yeah.
There ain't no way.
Yeah. That was a blatant like, hey, here's your belt. Like, all he did was push off, and Jalen knows how aggravated I am about that.
What was the older homie's name?
Barroso.
Yeah, yo. He landed more of the punches in that exchange. He landed like 3 or 4 punches. Broly hit him in the head and hit him in the shoulder and missed everything else. He hit Broly like with 3 or 4 punches in the middle of that shit, and then they stopped it. Like, he's winning. Like, what you mean? How you stopping for him when he landed more punches in that exchange? You so crazy, dog.
And remind you, he was the ref for Castillo and Corrales. And you can't tell me that you're calling that like, come on, bro.
Word. There was at least 3 or 4 exchanges where he could have stopped it for Diego Corrales or for Castillo. Either one. I remember, yo, that shit was crazy. And then he did the Badu Jack fight when he had the big old gash in his head. He didn't stop nothing. Covered in blood, chilling, smiling, like.
But like that's what like you said, I believe there's a lot of important people and a lot of money involved, and it's all about creating narratives and then, you know, like building up for like the next big payday for whoever it like involves. And that for example, that Diego Corrales and rest in peace and Castillo fight. If I was that ref, Castillo would have been one because I would have had to stop because yo, you done dropped this nigga mad times and twice I don't know what can happen, but in like right now, you're getting fucked up. And you really getting fucked up. I'm about to stop it. But then you really wait until this nigga gets his third or fourth win, he come back and he knocks the other nigga down, and then you stop that. And I feel like, in my opinion, those other knockdowns by Castillo were like the same, if not worse. But you stopped this one.
Wait, but I can see him not stopping it because watching that fight, even when Corrales gets knocked down, he gets up, his legs are under him, he's still fine, he's coherent, mm-hmm. he knows what's going on, you know what right. I mean? But when Castillo was getting hit, you could tell, like, that one where he snapped back, like, he didn't know where the hell he was at, mm-hmm. he didn't know what was going on, you know what I mean? That's when you get hurt. So that's why I agree with that stoppage, like, all right, Castillo, he wasn't all there when he got hit with that big-ass punch, and he didn't fall. So because he didn't fall, he was about to get hit with some more shit. And it's like, do you need to get hit with that knowing, like, you don't know where you're at? I'm definitely going to have to stop this fight. Because if Diego kept going, he was going to have to stop it regardless because he wasn't even defending himself. His hands was down. Right. So that one, I understand, like, all is going to happen is you're about to get a lot of brain damage because you can't defend yourself and you're out low-key on your feet. And that's going to be your head, bang, 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 bang. But with Diego, it's boom, boom, oh, you're down. All right, you're up, you're jumping, you know where you are, boom, boom, oh, you got hit again, but you're up, you're jumping, you know where you are, your legs is here, you can still defend yourself. And if you can mm-hmm. still defend yourself, it's different, but there was no defense. Like, he got hit.
There was no life left in him. That's true. It's just weird that you let something like that prolong, and then the turn of events is crazy, like, to me, you feel me?
I watched that clip like 1,000 times, bro.
That's one of my favorite fights, yo. Low key, yo. My pops was at that fight, yo. If you survey the crowd, you would see his ass.
Yeah,
I did it a couple times. I was like, yo, look at you with your fucking rollie on. I see you.
That's what's up, man. How you doing, though, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. You feel me? I'm chugging along, trying to get another fight. I'm trying to get a big fight. They offered me a couple of TV fights, but it didn't go down the way I wanted to go down. So I'm waiting. You know what I mean? I want my chance to show everyone what I can do. I'm trying to get Jahard Tucker. Jahard Tucker do not want to sign the damn contract, bro.
They don't.
I'm chugging and rolling and running. I need that fight, baby.
I feel that. Hey, well, wait. That's you at middle, right?
Nah, nope. I fight 154 and 147. Honestly, okay, bro, well, I'm even banned. I have no idea why I'm a middleweight on BoxRec. I never fought higher than 154.
All right, so I know BoxRec is weird. If you fought at 154 and the opponent came at like 158, they're gonna put it to the what's the name?
All right, well then that makes sense. My debut, my opponent was like 160.
Yeah. Same thing with me. I debuted at 80-something, and now I'm forever cruiserweight. Yeah.
Oh, it's like an algorithm thing, like with opponents type of deal?
No, my opponents are coming in over. They sign a contract for 54, and they come in at 160, and then they just get beat.
Yeah. Okay. That's all okay.
Bro. It should be annoying as hell. It'd be making me mad, too, because I'd be like, I could have ate breakfast, dog. Like,
So this is funny. Like, all right, so not this past fight, the fight before last. I was supposed to. I thought in my mind I was fighting at 175, and it was 175, 175, 175. Yo, what weight? 175. My bad. I'm gonna make that easy. And then my opponent comes. I'm looking. It's fight day, and we've been through so many opponents. They flaking, they flaking, they flaking, and then we got a last minute one. I don't know what the nigga looked like. So now we in the back, and we hearing the rules and stuff like that by the referee. And I'm just looking for my opponent. You know, like how you could kind of like, you know, check like, you know, about the size, the height, the body and stuff like that. And then it was only two people I ruled out. No, three people I ruled out, both the heavyweights. And then this one dude that was 6'5". I'm like, yeah, I can't be fighting none of them. They definitely not it. So now.
Are you fighting the nigga that was 6'5"?
Yeah, my coach come up to me. He's like, yo, come over here. I'm like, what's up? He's like, yo, that's who you're fighting right there. I'm like, who? Him? He looked like the Avatar. And then he was like, yeah, him. And then he started laughing. He's like, yo, that's what they call him on Box Rec, the Avatar. I'm like, yo, that's funny as shit.
Wait, yo, so, that dude from Springfield?
Huh?
Dude from Springfield?
Yeah. So now, what's the name? I'm over here, you know, warming up and stuff like that, and everybody's so nervous, and they're like, yo, he's so big. I'm like, yo, he is kind of big. And then now it's time to sign, because the contracts came in late, and then I seen the contract, it say 180. I'm like, I'm 173 right now, you feel me? And he's definitely not 180. Ain't no way he's telling me he's 180. Let me let him step on the scale. Oh, we don't got a scale. Da, 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 da. I'm like, whatever.
Wait, what you mean they don't got a scale?
This wasn't the weigh-in. This was fight day. This is the fight day. So I'm like, he not 180. You're not telling me he 180. But anyways, I got people that came through, and even if he 200 pounds, he gonna have to see me anyway. So here it go. Long story short, is the fight's over, and then me and him chopping it up in the back. And then he said, yo, you really short for 185. And I started laughing. I'm like, because he just told like that he was 185 or 185 plus, and I was 173.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, feel me? That's the boxing world, man. It's a lot of people think it's real structured and stuff, but like it's real grimy. It's real grimy.
You gotta watch the scale. It'd be wild. I fought in Worcester one time.
Yeah.
The fight was for 52. Dude came in at 163. And then he went downstairs, came back upstairs, and was 153. Like
Right.
Like what? Out of nowhere.
You know Elvis Figueroa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I fought against him. And I always fought at 75 kg, 165, 163, whatever. But, you know, Elvis is a big name, so I'm really getting in shape for this fight. And then fight day, my boy, he was one, like, he fought at 178. And they said they were going to, like, make it happen if I was a little over and he was a little under. Bro came in at, like, 182, 183, and I came in, like, 159. And I just had to weigh myself with my Tims on and my jeans on, and like, feel me? I was like, I was 162. That's like, all right, fuck it, we'll do it.
Yo, that's how it was when I fought Trevor. I came in at 150 and he came in at 65. And I had to put the water bottles in my pocket and stuff so I could weigh
it. Yo, I already know what you mean, man. Yeah, yo, but we can't be exposed in a sport like this. A lot of people don't know about this.
Yo. So boom, all right, bro. How did you feel for your debut? Like how? Like I was nervous. I'm not gonna lie. I was a shivering bitch in the back. I was like, damn, these wins and losses count now. Like fuck, yeah, I gotta be on my shit.
Honestly, I was nervous. I was nervous. But then when I saw this nigga, I'm like, I saw him. I saw his picture on Box Rec. I saw how tall he was. I saw this. I'm like, I was nervous, but then when I saw him at the weigh-in, I'm like, oh, nah, hell no, my nigga. Ain't no way, bro. Ain't no way. And then when we walking out on fight day, I'm looking at this nigga. I'm like, yo, this nigga about to piss his pants. He looked nervous. Like I could feel how nervous he is from all the way from where I was at. And so, like, I guess I got lucky in my pro debut to not be nervous, but, nigga, that nigga... If you would have seen this nigga had a little gut and all that. I'm like, I'm about to hit him right here.
Yo, matter of fact, the dude I fought for my pro debut, he just beat Marvin Hagler's son.
Oh, so yeah, that's that might be a little nerve wracking too.
Bro, nah, you know what it was? I didn't get to see him until we got the fight. He wasn't there at the weigh-ins. He weighed in the day of the fight. And so I didn't see him until we're walking down. And I'm like, yo, that nigga big, bro. He's big as hell, bro. Like, we supposed to be fighting 150. Yo, he right. definitely came in at like 165 because he fought this dude at 175. He's huge. Mm-hmm. I won, but I was like, goodness gracious, dog. Like, that boy was big as hell. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, these people crazy when it come to, like, if they want that fight to happen, they gonna make it happen. And if you don't fight, you run the risk of looking like a weirdo in public, even though you know the truth. Nobody know it like you do.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And people don't be understanding the weights. They be like, oh, who cares? Da, 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 it's just 10 pounds. Bro, 10 pounds is a lot. Yeah. 15 pounds is a lot, dog. Like, that's 15 pounds behind a punch, and then they be laying on you. Then, like, I'm a strong guy, so, like, I be bullying niggas. I be moving them, so, like, that's 15 extra pounds that, like, I might not be able to move that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then they don't even get it. It was like, okay, well, imagine me. Like, because I'm still going down the weight. I'm trying to possibly get down to 54 or 60. And at the moment, my next fight is going to be at 68. But still, it's like, I go in there. Like, for example, the Avatar, right? This guy, one, he's used to taking like harder hits from bigger opponents, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm not like solid muscle at 173, you feel me? I'm still going down. I still got a lot of fat, water, and stuff, and muscle to build, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where if he's solid at 185 and I'm not so solid at 173, I'm already smaller than him, and it's not even like I'm a sturdy 173. Like, you know, he's a sturdy 185. That's a huge difference. Like, he's got more muscle mass, and he's bigger. He can take more punishment, and yeah, skills can win it for you. But like, what if he touched me? You feel me?
He's gonna touch you. You feel me? Exactly.
What I'm saying? What if he like really touched me and it's over? And like, then like, oh shoot! Like, yo, you look like a little bitch in there. I'm like, well, I was a little bitch in there. Compared to him, like, you feel me?
Yeah, he's big as fuck. Yo, that be bugging me. Yo, I low key, I be arguing with my bros. Like, when they come to see me fight, they be like, "Oh, yo, go up and wait. Go, you should fight like 175, 200, da da da." I'm looking at them like, "You smoking crack?"
Now, I'm like, "Yo, could you imagine? Not everybody could be Mike Tyson, my nigga. That's why he's Word. That's why he's the only Mike Tyson."
Facts. Even how many, yo, not even give me Manny Pacquiao, how he jumped up from 123 to 154.
Not even, nigga. Pacquiao, you heard Pacquiao's story? Pacquiao had his first pro fight as a little boy at like 90-something pounds. And he went from fighting pro at 90 pounds as a little kid all the way to like, what, 54?
Yeah, yo. That's crazy.
OD.
That's
OD.
Crazy. Like, the amount of weight he had to put on and deal with is ridiculous, and still was knocking dudes out. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious!
Yeah.
Yo, the flyways must have been. Yo, he must have been hitting them flyways. They must have been. They bones must have been shaking. Like,
whew. Hell yeah, man!
Yeah, that's crazy, bro. So
what's your next fight? Like, are you looking to fight soon, or are you?
I'm looking to fight soon. We got some. It's talk right now. Like, there's a couple of shows locally happening, but I haven't signed a contract yet. So, one thing I do have a bad habit of doing is not staying ready and having to get ready. But since I know that's my bad habit, I've been, you know, making better choices and trying to stay ready. So, like, I guess there's nothing right now, but I think something in the next, like, you know, week or two might come to our attention.
Are you building the arena right now?
Pardon me?
Are you building the arena right now?
What do you mean?
Are you building the arena right now, the construction you got going
on? Oh, nah, I'm
working.
I'm in the liquor room right now.
Nah, I'm playing with you, bro.
I got a question, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So, you a CT fighter, feel me? Out of all the fighters you see around, like, What's a good match you would like to see, like, this fighter versus this fighter? You feel me? What's a good fight? From New England, CT, you feel me? Who's someone you would like to see both two people bang out?
I want Elvis to fight. I want Elvis to fight Berlanga. I want him to fight Berlanga bad. Like, I want him to humble that dude.
I'm with it. I'm with it. That's a good one.
Yeah, they that's need to let fight. That drink happen, and I need him to be humble, because like we was just saying, how you can be great just by credentials, but not really have did anything. I really don't believe, like, bro, them ten first round knockouts and then the impressive knockout rating and stuff like that. Like, come on, man. Like, anybody could do that, like fighting the guys you're fighting, bro. I want to see you fight somebody for real. And then the one, like, C-plus fighter you fought, you ran from him and you bit him and got suspended. Like, that's weird. You feel me? And I need my boy Elvis to go humble that dude, yo.
Yo, yeah, that'd be a good-ass fight. I think Elvis might take him out.
Yeah, Elvis, yeah. He's going to be scared of Elvis. He's going to be scared of that boy.
All right, so yo, you just gave me a new fight I'm pushing for, yo, bro. I didn't even think about that, bro. That's a good fucking fight.
Yeah, heck yeah. I think Elvis just fought this past weekend or 2 weeks ago.
Now he just fought, yeah, like last week.
Yeah, he I think he like 15-0 or something like that. He's doing his thing.
Yeah, 15-0. And it was a good fight. It was a good fight.
Yeah, I need that. I need that to happen.
So, but, Dave, is there anybody you want?
Anybody I want? Oh, yeah. I already told. I'm like, because, like, right now I'm in the I'm in my getting fit phase, because right after the World Games, I took all them years off of boxing, started working at Popeyes, got fat. I got all the way up to, like, 220 pounds. And I just moved to Florida when COVID hit to, like, you know, try to take it seriously before I miss my window. All I'm saying is, when I get in shape, I think either at 54 or 60, I just need it all. I need all the smoke, like, whatever it is. Like, I come B-side or whatever, I got something to prove. I got something to show. You feel me?
See, I love that. You moving how I'm moving. That's like, I'm calling all the A-listers out. Like, all right, bro. Like, you signed with Golden Boy. I'm trying to get with you. Sign with Top Rank. All right, I'm trying to fight you, bro. You feel me? I'm trying to show how good I am. You on the same page, trying to show that you're great. And
on some other junk right now, I'm actually training a couple fighters right now. I just got this head coach opportunity. And I want to be like, because, you know, a lot of, like, world champions end up producing world champions. But that'd be like 30 years later, 20 years later. Nigga, what you think about being a world champion, like, you know, fighting for a belt this week and then having to corner your guy next week for his world title belt? Like, I'm trying to be like that. You feel me?
That'd be fire, bro. That's history making right there. That'd be
Let
fire.
Let these niggas know I'm official for real. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah, yeah. All right. I'm with that. I respect it.
They're going to be on some junk like, yo, you see, we got his corner. He just won a belt last week. Yeah.
Hell yeah, yo. That's fire. He's won a belt last week. I got my belt this week, and they getting their belt next week. You're going to have a whole little fucking stable.
For real.
I feel like that's we got pretty much everything we needed today, bro. You feel me? I appreciate you coming out. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, bro. And bro, I can't wait to see what you're about to do with your career, bro. Cause yo, you've been one of my favorite amateurs for a while, bro. I'm not gonna lie. When I see you fought Trevor Lattimore, I've been a fan ever since then, bro. That shit, I was there, bro. I was there.
Oh, you was like, in there? All
right, it's gonna happen. Boom, boom. Oh shit! What the fuck? Out of nowhere, first round. It was crazy, bro. So yo, honored to sit here and talk with you and chat it up, dog. You know what I mean? And Matt, you got anything else to say?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Like, dude. Like, the things you've said today is like good inspiration for me, coming from. You know, it's cliche because, like, I'm like, oh, like, you know, one of my biggest fighters was Tyson, but you got to understand, I was born the same year as your dad went to the Olympics, and right. Tyson was the guy, and then it kept going. So, like, when I'm educated, like, with you guys about the politics, the dirty, the good, and then you telling me good things yourself, like, I appreciate that. So, you're always welcome on my show, and anytime you want to be on it, let's get it.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Before we let you go, I decided to ask one more question. Hold on. Yo, tell Maddie, he gotta get punched in his face one time. He gotta let me punch him so he knows what we go through. He won't let me.
Why would I tell him to do that? Why would I tell him to do that?
All right, Dave, are you in Florida now?
Yeah, I'm in Orlando.
Okay, so I'm going to Disney with my daughter. So okay. I'll let you punch me.
Why you gonna let him punch you? He big as hell.
How about it? Listen, man. I don't recommend getting punched by people who can or cannot punch. That's not what we do. We hit and don't get hit out here.
Thank you, Jalen. It was just a point.
That was a point.
They know what it's about. He don't want to. He's a nice dude. He don't want to do that.
Yeah, man. I think Jalen might be out for blood. I don't know. I'm not out for blood. I just want
to
make.
I'm not out for blood. I feel like we need to do that and put it on our TikTok channel. I think it would be funny.
Oh, I mean, like, if you about to put on like a bodysuit or something like that, you know how like Ryan Garcia be doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We can do something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's different. Oh, yeah. Let's get it. That's all fun and games.
See, all right. Say less, Maddie. I got the body suit in the car.
Okay. So, oh yeah, how can we follow you, Dave?
Oh yeah, yeah. You got Instagram, Facebook. How can we follow Instagram, you? Instagram, Facebook, anything. Let them all know how they can get in contact with you and see you.
Okay, so it's official_. Wavy, that's WAVEY 100, and that's my Instagram page. I'm gonna be more active on there soon. I'm mad old school. I don't be taking pictures and videos. I'm like, I'm mad weird. I gotta start though, cause everybody doing it.
Word, I jump on the train too. Now you see, I'm posting everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, bro. Well, no, it was an honor talking with you. You feel me?
Oh wait, one more thing. When I come up north a lot, and I'm gonna need work, and you obviously are good work, great work. So I'm gonna have to hit your line whenever I'm back up there. All right.
Say less, and hit me, bro. You already know. I got you.
Say that.
Matter of fact, there's a whole bunch of motherfuckers over here for you. I got you. The Springfield is way different now. We got a great gym out here now.
Okay, bet. But listen, let me get back to work so I can still have a job. You're
definitely told your man 15 minutes ago, like 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, word. It's been a clean almost hour, 51 minutes.
Word, all right, bro. We'll let you get back. Yo, we appreciate you, yo, Maddie. So you send off.
All right, man. Dave, right, Michael. Peace out, man. Have a good day and say good night. All right, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, bro. My boy, easy.
Thanks for watching Maddie C's Sports for You and Me. Make sure to follow Maddie C on MattCameron23 on Twitter, Maddie C23 on Instagram, and subscribe to Maddie C's Sports for You and Me on YouTube.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with. I bring the flow, with lyrical stamina, rapping a million miles. One point I'm an animal, then I'm a cannibal, taking my pick and I pounce. Bold and serious, cold amphibious track murderer. A cup I need by no one, so I got my back further, brother. Heat is up, extinguisher, I got the track burning up. Don't think to touch, 6 feet's enough to get the match to combust. Diamond, strike it, ignite on any gift, the surface solid. Callous, symbols that come from...